Hey, backstage, it's Nellie with Reader Sci-Fi Fantasy Questionnaire. Word of warning, I still curse too much. That's not likely to change. I'm an enormous nerd, and I'm pretty baked. So the odds of my staying on point are microscopic. Consider yourselves warned. Question one, science fiction or fantasy? That's a tough call. I do love them both. I had a don't panic pop socket made for my phone because I figure it's as close to the guide as I'll ever be able to put in my pocket. But if I had to choose just one, my favorite is probably mythologies and fairy tale retellings. Because I'm an enormous nerd, I always like to go back and check source material so I can see how much, is endemic to the culture and how much the author has changed, which is interesting anthropologically speaking, because it's amazing how much you can learn about a culture from what they believe. And some of the ideas go, you can go back as far as Zoroastrianism, right? And the whole idea of dualism, of creation and chaos constantly opposing each other, the whole resisting temptation and evil as an outside force. Skip forward to the classical and Greek gods are capricious as shit. You know, Apollo is the healer and the plague bringer. It just depends on how bad you pissed him off. The idea that good and evil both reside within us and that we decide what we apply where. And that duality extends all through the mythos. You know, Apollo was the father of medicine. He performed the first C-section and cut his son from his mother's womb on her funeral pyre. What they kind of gloss over is the fact that she's on her funeral pyre because she cheated on Apollo and he killed her for it. We don't talk about that part. We talk about Asclepius, who grew up to be the first doctor and his rod became the symbol for medicine. At least it's supposed to be. Here in the States, owing to some confusion 60-odd years ago, the caduceus gets subbed in a lot, which is the rod with two snakes, which is actually the symbol of Hermes. Which is commerce, communication, negotiation, thievery, passage to the underworld, probably would be the god of hackers today. But the rod of Asclepius is the rod with one snake. There is actually an alternate theory about where that symbol came from in representing medicine, which dates back to a parasitic worm that was quite common in antiquity, and it lived like right under the skin, like the size of your pinky, and you could actually like see it move. So people would go to the doctor and he would cut an incision in the path, and then as the worm came out, it would twirl a rod under it until it had been fully extricated and then seal the wound. So eventually the stick and the worm, they think, became kind of like the barber's pole as a symbol of the trade. Far less romantic. and I'm off topic again. Pragmatic. Fairy tales. Yeah, see? Fairy tales are very pragmatic. That is my other favorite. I'm really not fussed on which particular culture, though the Slavic are quite interesting. Baba Yaga's house on chicken legs and, very fun stuff. But everything, from lessons on morality to the numbskull tales, you know, don't be foolish, don't be a braggart, don't be an asshole. You know, never, ever, ever fuck with the helpless little lady at the well because she could turn you into a newt. Joseph Campbell, the hero with a thousand faces, right? Symbolism repeated in everything from Aboriginal tribes in Borneo to the Inuits. You know, it reaches back to Jung's posit that certain fundamental archetypes are universal to the human condition. You know, like Lightman's universal micro-expressions. We're wired to express ourselves a certain way. Jung posited that at its most basic, the wiring of the psyche is the same the world over, that we all use the same images and the same symbols, and that the hero's journey, therefore, is always the same. It's only the elements and the presentation that vary. Gregory Maguire is one of my favorite authors, does some fantastic fairy tale retellings. Confessions of an Ugly Stepsister is probably my favorite, but he also does Mirror, Mirror, where he uses Lucretia Borgia as the Wicked Witch. And then, of course, the best known is probably Wicked, which if you haven't read is fantastic. And if you have a chance to see the musical, do. I was actually really lucky because I got to see it at the Orpheum on its pre-Broadway run. Kristen Chenoweth, Idina Menzel, Joel Grey. Amazing. Unfortunately, it was also San Francisco, and it took us 2.5 hours to get out of the parking garage. But we pretty much sat there bawling, it was so good. Really, really amazing. Wait a minute, fuck. Where do we put superheroes? Because I could totally put Batman as sci-fi, but like my Brubaker Catwoman's. I don't know if I call her. Is that a mutation? Okay, six minutes later, the answer to question one is fantasy. Holy fuck. Okay, see, I did warn you, right? Question two. Shit. Did you have a favorite sci-fi fantasy book when you were growing up? Holy shit, yes. When I was about 9, I was still reading a lot of like Nancy Drew, and we had gone to the bookstore and I got like 3 books. And at dinner that night, my mother asked me how my book was, and I said they were great. And she said, which one? And I said, all of them. And so she said after that, I couldn't have any more books because I read them too fast. So after that, I could go to the school library and I could have her cast-offs, which were very heavy on high fantasy and true crime. So after the I-5 killer gave me nightmares, I switched to The Hobbit, which worked out a lot better. And I didn't really look back after that. I didn't really go to Lord of the Rings at that point. I think I was really probably just following whatever had the coolest looking covers, because I did like Terry Brooks, the Landover series, The Magic Kingdom for Sale, because who doesn't want to buy their own Magic Kingdom? And then the Shannaras, The Sword, The Elfstone, The Witch Song, whole lot of Weiss and Hickman, Dark Sword, Rose of the Prophet, Deathgate Cycle, metric shit tons of Dragonlance. Oh my fucking god. And the school library wasn't a total bust. Like, I discovered Robin McKinley, The Hero and the Crown, The Blue Sword, lots more fairy tale retellings, Beauty, Rose, Outlaws of Sherwood. Like, that all kind of smells like my childhood. Question 3. Do you read teen sci-fi and fantasy now? Why or why not? Not really. Because I kind of skipped over the genre, I never really went back. I did cave to the Harry Potters when The Goblet of Fire came out. I gave up. Everybody was raving, and I did enjoy them. I made a deal with my kids that anything that they read, I would read, which my son didn't really take me up on. Poor kid didn't think he was that fast a reader, because my daughter and I are kind of insane. So she was really into His Dark Materials, which was pretty good. I did enjoy that. The Golden Compass was a very disappointing movie, but the books were much better. And Percy Jackson and the Olympians. I'm trying to think if there's anything else, but I think that's about it. And then after that, she discovered the internet and realized she didn't have to talk to me anymore. So, you know. Let's see. Question 4. What is your favorite science fiction fantasy series or franchise? That's kind of a toss-up. Probably Raymond Feist's Rift War Saga. That has a pretty high nostalgia factor for me because it's the first series I remember buying myself after the book embargo. And I did enjoy those quite a bit, especially because they did some crossover from the kind of high fantasy classic feudal world to like the samurai world, which was also really, really cool. Or one that I'm reading now, which is the Kate Daniels series, has some fantastic world building and this whole pendulum swing from magic to tech, like this concept that the world was magic until, I think, what did she do? The original Babylon, like, pushed it too far and the magic collapsed and the tech came. And so at some point it goes back the other way and now it's swinging back and forth. And that's kind of fun. Yeah, so those are probably my two favorites right now. Who is your favorite sci-fi author or authors? In addition to the 80 billion people I've already, yeah. Who have I not talked to? Well, obviously we've got the Gaiman. I haven't said anything about that because I'm still stuck on Sandman. And I'm super excited because Sandman was the basis for the Lucifer TV show, which Fox canceled after season 3, but it has now been picked up for season 4. by Netflix, which I am super excited about because Netflix will let you do just about anything. Because I love Jessica Jones. Oh my God. But beyond the sex, they like let her put a dude's arm in a garbage disposal. I mean, I'm not a big fan of gore, but that shit made an impression. Oh my God. Ooh, and actually, you know what? There's another couple of books that I really love. You ever like meet somebody and like immediately knew that they were just really, really cool? I was bartending many, many moons ago, and I had been talking to this woman, and some guy said something about bad pickup lines, and we both immediately said, "Did you want to come up and see my etchings?" Which was a really, really popular pickup line in 1936. So she recommended this book to me called The Sparrow by Mary Doria Russell, which was fantastic. And I'm going to say, before I describe the premise, which I absolutely love, that the book is more theological than religious, because I'm not real big on religious overtones and allegory. But the theory is that SETI hears a signal and determines that we have actually found life in the universe. And while the UN and the world leaders are meeting and deciding how we're going to respond, the Pope sends the Jesuits. Because the minute I read it, I was like, oh my God, they're probably prepping the ship as we speak. Oh my God. It's just bloody brilliant. But it's a fabulous book. There's actually a sequel called The Children of God. But it's a really, really interesting, I don't want to give too much away, but really, really, really great. Mary Doria Russell. Question number 6, zombies or unicorns? Definitely unicorns. Because zombies, I love vampires, I love werewolves, I don't like zombies. Like, mindlessness terrifies me. That to me is like the scariest thing of all. Question number 7, are there any movies that you liked more than the original book? Generally not. I will say, though, there were two that absolutely nailed it. Neither one is a particularly long book, but The Princess Bride, oh my God, and The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, because I read those books to my kids. And that movie, I mean, again, it's only 150 pages, but nailed that shit. I do prefer the True Blood TV show to the Sookie Stackhouse novels. I don't know what it is. I've read Charlene Harris in a few anthologies, and I just can't get into it. 8. If you could get a drink with any character from these books, who would it be? Ooh, Merlin from The Once and Future King. Because if you could get him drunk, I think I'd quite like to be a bird and fly with Archimedes. That would be super cool. Of course, he could also leave me at the bottom of the moat for all eternity. So maybe drunken Merlin, not a great idea. Mab from the Dresden Files. I could have a beer with the Queen of Air and Darkness, but at Max Tavern, because accorded neutral territory, as long as I don't like accept anything, she can't freeze my eyeballs. That was painful to read. Ugh. Question number 9, Star Wars or Star Trek? Definitely Star Wars. Star Trek is too clean for me. That was like one of the most fabulous things about Firefly, was when they went to question the guy. Oh, it's going to get me in here. And they pull out duct tape, because fuck yes, 500 years from now, we will be using duct tape. We just will. Ooh, and if you have not seen the graphic novels, not bad. Shepherd's Tale, interesting stuff. I do feel like I've given sci-fi kind of short shift. Not to go back to Weiss, but Margaret Weiss and Don Perrin wrote a series. What the hell was it called? The only thing I can think of right now is Robot Blues. It's an offshoot of The Star of the Guardians, which I did not actually read. It's MagForce 7. They're not very long. They're quite amusing. Great if you have a commute. Awesome for an airplane. Do you have a favorite erotic? You know, I didn't even realize that was a thing. Nickel made some recommendations, but I didn't ever actually get to reading it. Talk to me again in a month. Though I am suddenly reminded of a movie called Cherry 2000. Okay. Have you ever written any sci-fi or fantasy stories? Yeah, I've written a lot. I'm working on one right now, is actually an interactive fiction on Twine that was based off a script that was based off of an idea from Moondance. But I did pull all the naughty bits out of that one. So it's more of a mystery now, but it is a retelling of Alice in Wonderland. And it did keep a lot of the elements, but it, obviously a lot more detail than we were able to go into. And then I also have I can't leave the Greeks alone, so I do have a retelling there, but that's really more in the world-building stage right now. That's kind of all I'm working on at the moment. And then, you know, scripts. Question 12, slight tangent. Can you separate an artist from their personal beliefs? I cannot. I generally don't give a damn. I'm not on Twitter or Facebook or any of it. I don't follow anybody. I don't read the tabloids or People or Us or whatever. So if it's big enough for me to hear it, then the stupid is strong in that one, and it's probably going to be an issue for me. Because once that ship has sailed, I'm kind of done. Like, as much as I loved A Few Good Men, Tom Cruise is still batshit crazy. I'm sorry. I just can't get past that. Bonus question. Why'd it have to be spiders? Tell me a major sci-fi fantasy franchise, any format, that doesn't include at least one giant spider. Fuck. Yeah, there are a lot of spiders. And see, now all I can picture is, what the hell was that Richard Grieco movie they used to show on sci-fi at like 2 a.m.? It was like the Planet of the fucking Spiders. Oh my god. Ooh, Planet of the Apes? Was there a spider in Planet of the Apes? I don't... Oh, you know what? Battlestar Galactica. Because there's no spiders in space, and they weren't really big on terrestrial threats, like, aside from, you know, the populace. And why spend effects money on a spider when you can make a spider Cylon? Yeah, BSG, final answer. Okay. Yeah, sorry about that. Have a good night.